Everything I do, oh, I love my Savior. He loved me too. Oh, I see His favor in everything I do.
Amen. Good morning to everyone. How's everybody doing? God is good. And we thank Him for blessing us to be here this morning. This day that was not promised to us. There are many who would love to be here this morning that's unable to be here. So God is good. And we thank Him. You had a good week this past week? Some of you don't look like it. Some of you look like you need a hug this morning. You just need a little love this morning. Let's sing a love song to God. There is a name I love. Yes, I love to sing His word. It sounds like, sing it with me this morning. It's the sweetest thing on earth. We're singing, oh, how I love Jesus so. Yes. Jesus, so how I love Jesus because love. Who is singing? Oh, how I love Jesus, so how I love Jesus, so how I love Jesus. Because amen, amen. If you are visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, you are honored guests. You are honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. But just thank you for being here with us. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in this morning. Hopefully, we can say something that may touch your heart. If you have a question, if you like to talk to someone, if you'd like for us to pray with you, we'll do that even right now. If you call the number on your screen, may God bless you, and hopefully we'll see you in our building. If you're in our viewing audience, hopefully we'll see you very, very soon. God is good. This morning, the lesson title, Think Before You Spend. Am I required to tithe? So it's kind of a statement, a question. I meant to do this lesson about this time of the year, and something got away and I didn't do it. But I was at a meeting this past Wednesday, and a brother gave a short talk on giving. And it compelled me to deliver this lesson this morning. Over $3 trillion dollars will be spent during the Christmas holidays this year. Over $3 trillion dollars. The average individual in the U.S., United States of America, this year will spend about $900 on Christmas gifts, if you will. This is not a Christmas sermon. I'm just making a statement. I thought I'd do it now in September before we spend all our money. And some of us might have already got started. But just practical, and of course, you know, I'm not one, you know, none of us, I know our pocketbooks are so sensitive, and including mine, but especially children of God, we need to be wise with all things. And sometimes we just need to be reminded. And this surely, see, and also understand this, we are at different stages in our lives. You have some singles, some who are young folks, some who don't have a job, some who are just getting jobs, and you have some who are more established and some who are retired. So the same don't go for everybody on how we spend our money. Because, yeah, I know some of you already think, but Gary, it's my money. I spend it like I want to, and that's exactly right. And you don't tell me how to spend my money, and I don't tell you how to spend your money, but God tells us how to spend our money. He does. And I tell you what, you can't take it with you, so don't try. You can't hold on to all your money, and you do need to spend it on something. So, see, some folk, you know, so if I got some money, then I can spend it and be all right. But let's be, I just wanted to make that statement about, you know, some of us, we spend money we know we don't have. And still paying on things that we bought. Still haven't paid them off now. And we'll start buying something else for somebody else. And I'm not a financial officer, and I just, you know, I've learned some hard lessons myself, and I just thought I would put it on your heart this morning. And see, some folk love lessons like these, and some folk do not like them at all, because, you know, people that, you know, we don't have any discipline, and we just look, Bill Gary, you know, you only live once. You're right. But I want to go to God's word, and I want to answer this question about tithing. I've been asked several times, and some of us, even in the Lord's church, we need to be educated what the Bible teaches about, you know, our giving and what we give, and some of us still using the wrong terms. We need to grow in the Lord. And I hope that you understand the Bible and how God, how the Old Testament and the New Testament work. Sometimes people come by the office and, "Brother, I've come out here to leave my tithes." Well, the Old Testament did require tithing. There's no doubt about it. And this is a Bible study as we worship our great God and give honor to Him. See, even in our giving, we give honor to God. Back then, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, Genesis 14, 20, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He gave him a tenth of all. Melchizedek, before the Old Testament law was officially given to the children of Israel, we have examples of Melchizedek giving a tenth, because he was honoring the king, being rescued, and he wanted to give to the God of Abraham. And he gave a tenth of all, the Bible says, in Genesis 28, verse 20, 28, 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I will return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." We see Jacob. This is also before the written law, if you will, was given. The Jacob gives a tenth to God. So we see this pattern of those recognizing where their blessings come from, and he wants to give to God, although it seems like he's negotiating with God, but that's what he said, is he's going to give to God, a tenth to God. Now, the Leviticus chapter 27:30, Leviticus 27:30, "Thus all the tithe of the land," the word tithe means a tenth, young people. Tithe means a tenth of. "Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the" who? "The Lord." That's what God said. It's all, everything on the ground, in the trees, everything that comes up is whose? God is the owner. He was laying the groundwork back then, and somebody said, "Well, what about their money?" Well, their seed was their money. This was their currency. The fruit of the tree was their, they turned it in for money. The cattle, the livestock was their currency, and they use it as money. Then he said, "It is holy to the Lord. If therefore a man wishes to redeem part of his tithe, now he got even technical with them. If you want to use part of your tithe, you want to buy part of your tithe back, he says he shall add to it one fifth of it. So don't be, my tithe is mine, God says. He says, now if you want some of it back, you want to get some of it, redeem some of it back, he says, add a fifth to it, so you'll be paying more than a tithe. What he's saying is leave the tithe alone. Just give your tithe. He says this, for every tenth part of a herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, and the shepherds, that's the way they count it. He said, everything that passed under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to God. When you hit the tenth one, he said, he is not to be concerned whether it's good or bad. He says, whatever it is, give it to God. He says, nor shall he exchange it, or if he does exchange it, then both it and the substitute shall become holy. He says, so you might as well give it the first time. Because if you exchange it, you give that and what you're substituting, it shall be holy, it shall not be redeemed. God laid the law down clear to them. Then he said this, a tenth of the part was for the priests in Numbers chapter 18, verse 21. Numbers 18, 21, to the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe, the tenth in Israel for inheritance to the sons of Levi. That's the priestly priesthood. In return for their service that they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. So all of the tenth of the people's goods would go to the Levite priests who took care of partaking of the temple, and they worked there full time. And the priest also had to give a tenth. The priest had to give a tenth in Numbers chapter 18, verse 25. Numbers 18, 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, moreover, you shall speak to the Levites, who are the priests, and say to them, when you take from the sons of Israel the tithe which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. And so he was saying even the priests had to give, the tithe wasn't for them to just take all themselves, they were to give a tithe of it also, a tenth of it also. Notice that we're in Old Testament, reading Old Testament scripture. Brother Gary, does this still apply to us today? Let's read some more. Exodus chapter 35, verse 29. Exodus 35, 29, all of the offerings and the givings that they had to give. The Israelites, that's the children of Israel. All of the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. This was not the tithe. This was those, and this is what the scripture says, all of you whose heart had been moved to bring material for all the work. So you have an example in the Old Testament of children of God giving a freewill offering, an offering that, and at this particular time, like in David's time, they gave freewill offering for the building of the temple. And David explained how he'd given, and they gave freewill offerings. So how much is a freewill offering? It's whatever they wanted to give, whatever their heart was moved to do. Now, notice, we all have different hearts. Hearts is not this heart. Hearts is our mind. It's our mind. You know what our mind, some things touch us more than others. And here in this particular instance, it was a free will offering to God. It's just all it is. It just depends on what you have and how much you love something. All right. So it's a free will offering, but it's very personal. Then look at Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 5. Now, Brother Fagan read this in your hearing, Deuteronomy 12 verse 5. But you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord... Everybody still with me? I know I'm talking about money, but don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I don't do this very often, talking about our giving and our money, but it's in your Bible. But you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God would choose from all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling. This is Old Testament. Listen to that. And there you shall come. Well, God told them where to worship. He designated the place that he wanted out of all the peoples and all. He designated the place. When they were in the wilderness, this place was the tabernacle. I don't have time to read it all. It was the tent of meeting where they worshiped God, and they brought their offerings and sacrifices to the priest. And as they were moving through the wilderness, wherever that tabernacle was planted, they all the people, no matter where they were, they brought the offerings to the priest. Priests made sacrifices. And notice this. Let me read the rest of this. He says, here he was talking about another place. It would be a permanent place at that particular time. Here in verse 6, there you shall bring your burnt offerings. Now, these are all the offerings, the Old Testament. Burnt offerings, this is the flesh and blood offerings. This is where they brought the animals. And the animal was, the whole animal was sacrificed on the altar. And blood was poured on the altar, the burnt offering. Because sometimes you see terms, it says burnt offering and sacrifice. And it says your sacrifices. Well, everything that we give should be a sacrifice. What do you mean sacrifice? It's something that you give up. It's something that you really like. You really love it. It may be it's something that, see, it's not a sacrifice when you give something you don't want. Like sometimes, you know, we have these clothes drives and you say, well, bring your clothes, you know, your clothes to the church. And I wish you could see. But I'll tell you what, some of the stuff. And you know, most of them, you know, you go in your closet and you got, you know, you got all this nice stuff in there. And you say, well, the church needs some stuff. And you know what you're going to give them. And we give, you know, and somebody appreciates it. But it's not a sacrifice when you get, see, because some of us, Bro Gary, can I bring some stuff? I need to get rid of some stuff. Well, that's okay. But that's not a sacrifice, is it? Matter of fact, it's really kind of helping us when we clean out what we don't want to give somebody else. Now, I just made a statement. So, in other words, I don't want you to get in your mind a sacrifice is when you give up something that you're going to feel. That's what a sacrifice is. See, no, it's not all the time necessarily something tangible that you can feel or that you can see. See, I tell you what, you know something that just something that has left us that we can never get back? Time. And time, I don't know about you, but time is a precious, especially after you start getting up in age a little bit. It's a precious commodity, isn't it, saints? Isn't it, senior saints? Oh, that mercy, we can go back and get some of that. And some of us have know the true meaning, the real meaning of sacrifice. That's why you get mad when you sacrifice your time with your children and people, and you sacrifice, you gave up some stuff, and you could have been. I'm just trying to explain what sacrifice is. See, he says, God wants your sacrifice. Most times it's identified as peace offerings. Peace offering was something you gave, and then also a meal was, it has a meal afterwards. You give, and it's, you're thankful to God. Now you're back in fellowship. You can sit down and eat now. Yeah, peace offerings. Your tithes, your tenth. Notice the terminology. Your tithes. See, everything. See, it was status quo to the children of Israel. Anything that you are blessed with, that comes from the ground, that comes from the tree, that comes from anything that you are blessed with, God wanted a tithe. Because he wanted you to recognize I'm the owner anyway. And so it was to be in that consciousness, you know, hey, set it aside. It's holy. It's a recognition. He says, the contribution of your hand, that's it. See, they also had what was called, in some of your translations, may call it a heave offering. It was an offering that was also the part that was given to the priest, the heave, because it was set aside, you know, set aside for the priest. And he says, any contribution of your hand. And so he wanted them to know that every aspect of our life should have. See, we every aspect of our life, you all realize everything you have comes from God. And you give God the glory, even back in the Old Testament. That's what he taught. He said this. He said, your votive offerings. That was the vows. That was a promised vow you make to God. You know, like you were, Lord, you bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord, and I'm coming to work. I'll never curse. I never drink. Lord, you bless me. You get me through this one. I'll never drink. So you were required to bring a something substantial to prove you meant what you said. Amen. Your votive offerings is a promise. Your vows to God. You gave a vow. Well, give something. Show me how. Yeah. Oh, so don't be open your mouth if you don't mean what you say. Your free will offering. That's your free will. You mentioned one, your free will offerings. And God, it wasn't anything that was necessarily required. But you see, under the old law, it was definitely accepted by God. And God, even he knew their hearts, and it says the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. And some of these offerings, they intertwine, because even the burnt offerings, God didn't want no junk. You bring no old, feeble, blind, lame, crippled, maimed, rabies animal to him. Yeah. Well, think about what we like, what we enjoy. Think about the nicest gifts you receive from somebody. I mean, you know, think about it. Somebody, you know, and like me, I'm not choosy. But, you know, think about it. Some people had their gifts wrapped. You know, they put wrapping and bows and twist ties. And some people write handwritten notes, not none, the computer at the shipping place, they write notes. And think about the gifts that you know took some thought, and how they make you feel. You get something like, you remember, yeah. You know, like for Father's Day, what do most people get fathers on Father's Day? Why do they give tithes? It's easy. That's all right, brothers and sisters. They look, if you get a tithe better than that, I know what you're saying. But when you wanna please some. Yeah, he says, verse 7, there also you and your households shall eat before the Lord your God. See, you don't get to eat. You don't get to fellowship. See, you're not coming with, you don't come with, you come with nothing to the table. Nothing. And you still living. And you don't have nothing. Then he says, and rejoice in all your undertakings. See, we come to, and now, you know, of course, they were required to assemble for the assembly of the tabernacle or convocation, of course. But see, life is more than coming to worship service. It's much more than that. And he wanted the people to recognize your daily life, your going to the market, your going out in the field, your taking your family on a caravan, on a trip, wherever you're going. You're playing all your undertakings. Everything ought to be wrapped in the thought that all my blessings are coming from God. Everything. I'm in the Old Testament. I'm getting happy because I'm going to the New Testament. Now, let's go. Now you ask, is tithing required? Obviously, it was required. But even back then, notice the children of Israel. Specifically in Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy, where we read, the children of Israel were required to give tithes. They were required. It was a commandment. Are we still required today? Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Galatians 3, 24. I can't read all the passages, but I want to make it clear. I want to make it clear. And see, help us to understand and put and prioritize. Prioritize where our substance goes, but more than that, where it comes from. Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law has become our tutor. This law, uses the term the law of Moses, the Old Testament law, the prophecies, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the Old Testament law. The law is capitalized. Most of your scriptures has become our tutor. You know what a tutor is. Tutor is to aid you in your learning. It doesn't do it for you, but it guides you. Now it says the tutor to lead us. Everybody say to Christ. To Christ. And in Christ there is everything is better in Christ. We studied the book of Hebrews, and that's what we are in one of our Bible class, Brother McElroy and I and Brother Ben Wilson, and we're talking about him, and Brother McElroy hit the first part of the class. He says, one of the highlights in the book of Hebrews is, I want you to remember the word better. Everybody say better. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I love better. Good is good, but good ain't good is better than good. Yeah, he said better. Old Testament law wasn't anything wrong with the law. It was the people that was something wrong with the Old Testament law. But it still was our tutor to teach us more about God, what God expects of us. But it was to lead us to Christ, an even better way. And this way is for everybody, not just the Israelites. He says, so that we may be justified, made right by faith. But now that faith has come and is here, church, it's been here. It's been here for a long time now to us. We are no longer under a tutor. Now, we're no longer under the tutor. Now, the tutor was what? The tutor was the law. The scripture is saying simply, we are no longer under the law. Part of it, and part of it, go to John chapter 4, verse 21, 4:21, John 4:21, and Jesus said to her, woman, this is when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. He said, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Now, do you remember Deuteronomy chapter 12? When he says, look at that, God is going to designate a place that my people are to go and dwell. And he says, I'm going to give you a place. That place, one of the places was Jerusalem. The children of Israel were to go to Jerusalem. He designated a place under the old law. Now we're under the new law. We're no longer under the tutor. He tells this woman, he says, the time is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. And now those of us that are Bible students that know that time is now. The place was designated. He says, now is not Jerusalem. Now is not a mountain. He says, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is. Everybody say, now is. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, not in Jerusalem. We can worship the Lord in Houston, Texas this morning. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't have to go to a mountain. We can worship the Lord. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am, right in the midst. We can worship the Lord in my house. Harper, girl, thank you for that. Not by yourself, though. Yeah, you got it. You see, let's notice it. We're talking about the truth. He says, you can worship the Lord in spirit, notice, and in truth. Yeah, you're still not doing it your own way. Let me get back to my subject. I almost wanted to drift off a little bit. Let me get back to my topic. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. Romans 7, 6. I got to finish on time. But now we have been released from the law. I want to make it plain. You gotta make it, because see, I want you to, those of you that are New Testament Christians, I want you to stop using the term giving tithes. Amen. Amen. Well, that's what the Bible teaches, that we have been released from the law. So when you're giving whatever you're giving, notice, and it's not just currency. Amen. It's not just currency dollars, but it is currency dollars. But you see, listen, when you're giving, you are released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So if nobody else gets it, everybody in here that's members of the body of Christ, stop using the term, I'm giving my tithes to the Lord. Amen. Or to the church, because that's not what you're doing. In New Testament times. And I hope that's eye-opening to some. I hope it's not offensive. It's just a God honest truth. Okay. Now, well, Brother Gary, well, I knew you were asking in your mind, well, what do I give? And how do I give? And how much do I give? Well, I tell you what, don't give it all to Christmas. Well, let's see. Mark 12:41. I'm gonna show you just a drastic difference in New Testament. The freedom that God has given every individual that's a New Testament Christian. And he begins to show us Jesus before he died on the cross. He begins to show us these examples, these New Testament examples. Listen to Mark 12:41. I'm going to read it fast so I can finish. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money in the treasury. Now notice, they're still under the old law. Of course, they're still under the old law. Some of them are probably bringing tithes or whatever. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Verse 43, calling his disciples to him, he said to them, Jesus is teaching. He's teaching New Testament. This has never been taught before. He says, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she put out of her poverty. Put in all she owned, all she had to live on. Who gave more? Oh, you need who? So do we need to give all we have? That wasn't a lesson that Jesus was teaching. But he was teaching that what we give to God is relative. And you cannot measure someone being pleasing to God for how much they put in the plate, because you don't know how much they have. Amen. And so, and some of us, we all sing, say glory and hallelujah, because it don't matter how much money you make to God, is how much you purpose in your heart and how much you give to God that determines how he's pleased with your offering. And see, now, he showed them an example, because you know this is how we do. We are impressed when people give large sums of money. Well, large sums of money out of how much money that they have? Well, let me make it a little bit clearer. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Passage you hear, we hear us reading all the time. Now, this I say, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he who sows sparingly. You know about farming. If you go out and plant, if you want a field of corn, and you go out and plant 2 grains of corn, but you want a whole field, don't even look for it. It's not going to happen. He gives a plain, simple law that we resist. It takes faith to give when you don't see. And he said, if you sow sparingly, this is a principle, this is a godly, if you sow, if you give sparingly, if you're cheap, if you're stingy, if you give a little, don't expect a lot. It's a principle. And but your heart got to be in the right place. That's the problem. Lord, help us. Help us with this. This is one I've had to be, I'm telling you. See, some of us have, in the church, now we have some people that have steady incomes. You know, they get a check every week, every 2 weeks, every month, like clockwork. It's been coming. You know, it's just, you know how much you're making. You know it. You know it. You know it. You know it. Somebody say glory, hallelujah. You're getting a steady check. And if you know how much you're making, what do we do with our, what do we do with our money? Under the old law is our tutor, right? He says, aren't you, all your undertakings, you got a burnt offering, sacrifices, peace offering, heave offering, votive offerings, first fruits of your flock. Everything, he's trying to teach us that every aspect, see, some of us think we giving our money to the church. I need to make sure I get the money to the church so they can pay Brother Gary. Well, the offering was used, part of it, for the priests. You saw that in the scripture. Part of it was used for the priests. But see, God's trying to show us it ain't just the priests. See, I own everything anyway. God owns everything. Anybody here need a blessing? And you know, and sometimes, does that sometimes seem like it's a hole in your pocket? You put the money in there and you can't go in there and find it again. And here, notice in the scripture, Paul says, he who sows, he who does not recognize who own everything, who does not recognize where all your blessings. Well, but Gary, I'm trying to start my business and I got to save all my money. All whose money? And now, do you want a successful business? You want it to grow. You want big fields. You want big harvest. Your mindset don't be stingy to the one who can give you everything. Now, I'm not saying not be wise and not give them that loan every time. With God, he's the master. He's the owner. He's the one who can open all the doors and also close the doors. And the principle in the New Testament, under the Old Testament, he taught us, I'm pointing out all the offerings I want. I got to tell you, I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you to recognize that, look, your animals, they mine. Your grain, your corn, they mine. You making a promise you want me to keep. Well, I can make it happen. He just pointed them all out. Under the new law, we're under a better law. It's Christ. Now it's spirit. Now it starts in your heart. I taught you all this. I showed you line for line. Do you see? I'm letting you make up your mind how much you want me to bless you. Amen. Nah, I'm just giving it. Hey, whatever, how big. If your faith is small, that's what he's telling us. Oh, Lord have mercy. He says, if you reap sparingly, you sow sparingly. If you reap bountifully, if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Then he says this in verse 7. This is why you need to leave folk alone. Each one must do just as he is purposed in his heart. It's a pre-thought out. He said, you do what you purpose in your heart. See, when I was at the meeting Wednesday, brother said, you know, brother, giving is not a commandment. It's not a commandment. One brother said, well, what do you mean? Giving is not a commandment. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, he said, well, no, that was in his own context, but it's not a commandment. But love is. And I thought about it for a second. You know, the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the money. But then he said, now, the brother, don't get me wrong. See, giving is a representation of your love for God. He said, now, you can tell when you love something. He said, let I tell you what, brother. Now, let me quit talking like he was talking. But he said, let me look at your checkbook for a second. I'll tell you what you love. Anybody in here love to fish? My daddy, ooh, he loves fish. Well, you can tell what people love. You can go to their house and tell what people love, too. Yeah. You come to my house and see what I love. Yeah, I just thinking out loud. Purpose in his heart, not grudgingly. Back under the Old Testament, the Tudor, he specified. I imagine there were people when the offering time was coming saying, I gotta give my, man, I've been grooming that little goat, man, that goat. And I gotta give a little goat. But they were still commanded to do it. Notice. You argue all you want, you better bring that. But under the new law, nobody compelling us. Now, I know in some faiths and some religions, you know, some folk get up and hammer, you need to give $100. I'm going to start it off with $100, and I'm going to want my $100 brothers to stand up. No Bible for that. There's no Bible for somebody putting a guilt trip on any member of the body on how much to give. At all. But we have Bible for if you mad when you're giving something to God, don't expect anything. Don't expect a blessing. Well, I'm going to give it this time because the church need my money. Nor of necessity. You forgot you're talking to the owner. Amen. Yes, the church needs the money. We need the money to keep the lights on. But you know what? See, there, I believe we got enough folk in faith in here that if you don't give, somebody else will give. Amen. Don't we, church? Amen. Amen. And notice this, the blessing is not coming from us, it's coming from God. For God loves a that's why I started off to say, don't spend money you don't have, because then you start negotiating with God. Don't. Yeah, God understand. He understand. You know, I had to buy for Aunt Sis and Sister Sue and this girl that go to my work. I pulled names and I had to buy for them. No, you ain't had to buy for nothing. I didn't mean to go there. Now, I know some of you want me to, Brooke, tell us how much to give. How much to give? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, for if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. I had to read that. I wish I had time to expound on it a little bit more. And I know some of us, well, now people are not going to give. See, listen. We can share the truth of God's word. And those of you, see, because if we know, and I don't, because some people, when you start preaching on giving, they don't even want to hear the sermon. I don't have a job. I'm so in debt. So I can't listen to that right now. You know, you need to hear this. But listen, because they gave of every substance, the grain, the corn, the seeds, the fruit, the meat. We can give to God in many ways. See, y'all coming here, some of us had to pay a cab. I saw some cabs pulling up this morning to drop people off to work. Some of you drive a car, you take for granted your car, you take for granted your car. No, that folk who struggle just to get here, that is a sacrifice. And when you come, if your mind is ready, Lord knows that if I had the money, I'm going to give this money to God. I'm giving something to God. Now notice this, but don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself with God. God know your heart, and he knows what you're spending your money on. See, we can come up and act like we ready to give. You go home, we got cable, got cigarette packs for 8 weeks. What did we do with that money when we were working? So God knows everybody's heart. And who am I to restrict? See, this lady gave everything. I said, oh, that was just foolish. I wouldn't give everything. Well, because your heart don't want to give it. And you know, you might not give everything that you have all the time. But you got to give, you're going to give something to God, something that if you love something. Amen. You love God. You love the work of God. You love the church. You love the ministries. You're going to give something to God. And see, there's some folk who come, who you know what? God is good. Not, some of us could if we had the heart to. If we had the heart to, God bless us. You know, we don't have no whole lot of debt. Some of us, if we had the heart to, sometimes we look at, maybe, I don't know, this month my whole check is going to God. Oh, but don't say that. I'm just. You might say, oh, no, that's fool. That's foolish to you. Because it's not in your heart. Notice this. He who sows. See, you're looking at what you giving up. You're looking at he who sows sparingly. I had a man. Oh, is that time right? Oh, my goodness. I had a man. When I was working for MetLife Securities, and this man, we went to this meeting, and he walking around, he giving $2 bills, you know, $2 bills to every female in the office. It must have been 300 or 400 people, and I was walking around, and he's an older gentleman, he was giving $2 bills, just laughing, he was talking, and just giving $2 bills. And I asked him, he does that? He said he does it all the time. He gives $2 bills. And everybody, you know, there goes Mr. I can't remember his name. And I was new at the time. And I was like, well, why does he do that? He said, he's the top salesperson in the whole office. Whole office. I said, oh, well, he can afford it. You know what they told me? They said, you know, he's been doing this ever since he came here. Ever since, he said, he always gave. He said, every place that he went, he always gave. I just had a chance to talk to him for just a second. You know, I surely couldn't pry it away. But he said, you know what he said to me? He said, it's more blessed to give He used the Bible. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. He said, I give this, I get it all back. Let me say this. The New Testament no longer requires animal sacrifices. It no longer, the Levitical priesthood is not a requirement today. The seventh-day Sabbath is not a requirement. The Old Testament holy days are not requirements, although some people still keep them. The laws of clean and unclean meats nowhere required in New Testament times now. But it doesn't mean that we're free to give pennies to God. They gave 10%. Notice, it was down the line. It was clear, 10%. And then other offers that they gave to God. And then if you read in Matthew chapter 8, 5, verse 20, the Bible says that Jesus said this when he was on the earth. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Now, I know this is an area probably that many of us need to grow in. I'm one of them. You know what happened to me? I got, life happened. Debt happened. Anybody in debt? Don't raise your hand. Don't say amen, nothing. Debt puts constraints on us. That's one of the reasons why I made the statement together as the body, as a whole body to us. Now, some of us, we've done well. We've saved. We've been wise with our money. And when you're wise with your money, God going to bless you. You know, when God bless you, don't get mad at me because I buy a new car and I was wise with my money. That's I'm sowing what I reaped. I'm telling you, there is nothing wrong with you doing God's will and God blessing you. Don't think I'm trying to preach that everybody in the church ought to be poor. A lot of times we get our own self trying to impress people we don't like, don't know us. Kinfolk we don't see but once a year. Stop doing it. Stop negotiating with God. And seek Him first. Seek Him first. Seek Him first. Seek Him first in all things. Every area of our lives, and see how God won't bless us. We all love God. God is good. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You need to be a Christian. It is the best life. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is a reward of those that diligently seek Him. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13 and 3 and 5, if you're willing to confess Christ, Matthew 10, 32, Romans 10, 9 and 10, you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you too will be added to the body of Christ. We become a New Testament Christian. We have some freedoms that God has allowed us, not to sin, but to love Him even more. So if you want to come to Christ and be baptized, you can do that today. If you have something on your heart you need us to pray for, we'll pray for you. You stand as we stand.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to His brink.
'Tis a fount
of love
from the source
above. Amen.